This is Ruth Schwartz. Today's date is December 2nd, 1973. The time is 7 p.m. I will be interviewing Mr. and Mrs. Jacket of Deindorfer, Saginaw, Michigan. Social life is my major topic of discussion.
This is Mrs. Jacket. I was born in Saginaw, Michigan in 1890. On the east side of Saginaw, and where we were raised with having three sisters, and I might say I was a twin, but the twin passed away right away. We lived here, my father was from Canada, and mother was from Memphis, Michigan. But otherwise, we lived here all our lives. I went to the central school on Federal Avenue now, which was at that time Germania Avenue. And then from there to high school, graduated in 1908. And our class in 1908 had 100 pupils graduate, which now would seem like nothing. My mother and one sister were seamstresses, and I also sewed and was a seamstress after school. In 1908, I met we went together for about 6 years, not because we wouldn't get married, but because in those days you had to have money to get married. You couldn't charge everything. And now we have celebrated our 59th wedding anniversary, and hope we will reach our 60th, which would be in September the 9th next year. Is that enough for now?
Down.
The wages?
We
met at Riverside Park, but I had known his brother and sister-in-law for some time, as I used to babysit there. Of course, in those days, we didn't get any money for babysitting. We just sat with the babies because we liked to. But I happened to meet at Riverside Park at a dance. And we were going together then ever since.
I am Mr. Jacken. I was born on June 19th, 1892. My father and mother migrated from Germany before I was born. I had two brothers and one sister who were born in Germany and came with their mother. I had five brothers and one little boy who was only 6 years old was killed, and supposedly the first person killed by the old Saginaw Valley Traction Company, a streetcar. He was crossing the street with his little wagon and was struck by the streetcar and killed instantly. My sister was married, passed away at 28. And I entered school here as a child. I went to John Morris School, for my early years. And my father was a baker by trade, and he started a bakery on the west side, so we moved to the west side of Saginaw. We had always lived on the east side. I started in the fifth grade at John Moore School and finished through the eighth grade. But my father felt that I should go to work rather than go to high school, so I started working for an uncle in the hardware store. I worked at the store several years, and when I was in my late teens, I started to work at the People's Savings Bank of Saginaw, which is now extinct. And from there, I went to the Lufkin Rule, where I worked for 13 years. And after leaving there, I started with the Prudential Life Insurance Company and completed about 26 years of work with them when I retired at age 65.
This is Mrs. Jockin again. And I'll tell you a little more about the schools that we had when we went to school. They're a little different than they are now. Anyone could dress as they wished, but they all dressed alike a good deal, with the dresses the same lengths and so on and so forth. The teachers were not allowed to be hurt the children of any kind, but a good many of them still carried switches in their hands or rulers in their hands, and many of the boys more than the girls got hit in the hands of their rulers. But otherwise, the discipline, I think, is a deal the same as it is now. When I went to high school, I went to the East Side High School, and which burned down and is now new. In fact, we have new schools here now, bigger schools, many. How many, I can't tell you right now how many graduate nowadays, but up to 1,000, I guess. They had the classrooms were ordinary size. I would say maybe they could get 30 people in a room. And sometimes people wonder how we got to school in our days. We used and would have to wait sometimes until the plows went by in the wintertime before we could get to school. But many, many children walked miles to school. I, being very fortunate, lived only about 6 blocks from school. In high school, we started at 8 o'clock in the morning and went to school till 1, and then we didn't go back again. So we didn't have to make more trips. But those that lived near enough to school went home for lunches, and the other ones brought their lunches. And there are many, many children that went to school in those days that walked miles back and forth to school, which you don't find now with the buses and all this other.
This is Mr. Jackin again, and in regard to getting to school, Mrs. Jackin mentioned about the snow plows. Probably interesting to know, those plows were always pulled by horses on the sidewalks, and every morning they started out very early in the morning to plow the streets, the sidewalks, so that the children could get to school. Now, today, of course, it's an entire different entirely different story. The transportation is provided. But many of the children came from long distances and sometimes through pretty heavy snow. Same way getting home. But in my young grades, I was very fortunate, like Mrs. Jockin. I only lived a few blocks from the school, and it was never any great difficulty to get there or to get home again. As far as lunches at noon are concerned, why, I always went home to lunch at noon, and there were no cafeterias in the schools at that time. In the later grades in John Moore School, the boys, of course, and girls were older and bigger, and of course, the older boys were more mischievous than they were when we were small. And it was a common thing to have them put the pigtails of the girls in the inkwell, and even sometimes they brought field mice to school and tied them on the string and let them run under the seats so that the girls would jump up on the seats. And in fact, in my seventh grade, I remember well, it was a big fellow that he always had to sit in the last seat because he couldn't get his legs under the desk. So he always had something unusual. And one day, he was playing with something, and the teacher said, "What have you got, James?" And he said, "Nothing." And the teacher says, "Well, you go out in the hall. I'll see you out in the hall." So the first thing we knew, there was a loud scream, and he refused to bring it out of his pocket, but she reached in his pocket, and he had a little garter snake in his pocket. And those are the sort of things that went on in the days when I was in the young grades.
When I was in the fifth grade, I was just a normal size, and there were some boys in the room that were great big men. And when the girls would go down the aisles, they'd stick their feet out and try to trip them. And many girls on the floor at that time. Those were the kind of pranks they used to play in school.
I forgot to mention, when I finished the eighth grade, I didn't pass because I wasted too much of my time in the early part of the year, we were taking algebra, and I didn't pay close enough attention. I lost the principles, and the consequence was that I didn't really pass out of the eighth grade. But Mother wanted me to go to summer school, and they said they would pass me if I would spend some time at summer school. But Dad said, "No, let him go to work. That'll do him good." So I proceeded to go to work, and as I mentioned before, I went to work for my uncle, and I started at $2.50 a week.
And walked miles.
And I needed to walk several miles to the south end of Saginaw, and I started to work over there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and worked all day. And I had to take care of a horse. I was only 13 years old, but I had to harness him up in the morning, take him to the hardware store and on the wagon, and make deliveries, etc. And I took him to the barn at 6 o'clock in the evening and bed him down and fed him, and then I was privileged to go home and walk back to the west side for the day's work. Yeah. As I mentioned, I missed on algebra. But when I started to work at the bank, I worked in the bookkeeping department at first, and was in the teller's cage later on. And when I left the bank after 7 years and a half, the assistant manager, he told me that by... By all means, I was the most accurate mathematician they had ever had in the bank. At that time, I was making $75 a month when I got married, and I think we lived
on $5 a week.
We lived on $5 a week and were able to eat steaks every day and ate better probably than we do today, as far as meat is concerned at least. I used to stop at the butcher shop on the way home. Mrs. Jockin would say, bring home a steak, and there at that time my father-in-law was living with us, and we had two daughters, and the five of us, we got a big enough sirloin steak for about 40 to 50 cents to feed all of us for at least that one meal.
Speaking of young people dating, I don't believe that they dated quite as early as they do now. Usually it was 17, 18, 16 probably the youngest. And they went together more years because they couldn't take care of a house and have the money to live on. I think that, of course, that depends a lot but on the person. But I know we went together 6 years, waiting to scrape together enough money to get some furniture for a house. But they did not seem to date then as early, I don't believe, now as the children. We used to spend a great deal of time going to dances, and there was a man named Archie Bitterman who put on dances at the Masonic Hall every so often, and that's where a great many of the young people went and where we met each other, and we had some very wonderful times. The young folks in those days spent a lot of time at dances and also shows. We had the Academy of Music here that put on beautiful shows, and you could go up into the gallery for a quarter, I think it was. And many people lost their hats going up there. Somebody pushed them off their head, myself included. So that's the way. And then we used to go to people's homes. I had three sisters, and many times we would have as many as 12 people in the house, standing around the piano, singing, and maybe winding up by eating a big batch of popcorn or taffy pulls they also had in those days. People would I don't know what anybody even thinks of those things now, but we used to have a great time pulling taffy. And that's the way we spent our time. Our time was spent in our homes or in dances or shows and things of that kind. Is that all right?
In our day, there were no government subsidies or anything for
pleasures
for children. We had to make our own way in that regard. We did a lot of skating, and we danced a lot, and as Mrs. Jockin said, we sang a lot around the piano. And the assemblies, as they called them, the dancing assemblies, sometimes the boys would come in groups and the girls come in groups, and they'd all mix up and have a wonderful time dancing together. And on occasion, some of the girls would go home alone, but then again, some of the boys would see that the girls got home. And the one thing I like to mention is In the day when I was real young, I recall distinctly when I ran down the street to the main street, Lapeer Street at that time, to see what they called the horseless carriage. It was a one-cylinder reel with a handle for steering purposes instead of a wheel. And I recall that quite distinctly, how we all ran down to see that horseless carriage.
Made by the man.
When we became serious, as far as marriage is concerned, it was a practice for us when birthdays came along and Christmas, when gifts were the practical thing. We used to give each other gifts that we knew we could use in the home to our advantage. And the result was that Mrs. Jockin now has some pretty nice cut glass, which is very expensive today, and also hand-painted dishes and things of that nature. We made every preparation we could to be ready for the time when we would start housekeeping. We were fortunate enough to house which a man who had built right close to the area where we lived, and it was a home with a living room, dining room, kitchen, basement with a furnace, and three bedrooms with a bath upstairs.
And
Mrs. Jockin made all the curtains for the house before we were married, and spent a lot of time that way. Then we, when we did get married, why, we had the house all well in hand. We
happened in this one, the minister who got married.
Of course,
there were no big marriages. There were only
When it came to the time for the wedding, of course, in those days we didn't have a car or even a horse and buggy.
There wasn't anybody.
But we, very few people had facilities for transportation. But that, of course, was a big night, so I hired a cab, horse and cab driver, to take us to the minister's house where we were married. And we came home after the ceremony, and we thought we had the house secured, but one of our friends had a key, I think there was a window left unlocked upstairs on a little balcony we had up there, and managed to get in the house, and they really draped it with toilet paper and disconnected the stoves and that sort of thing, spread them all over the house, and we had quite a job putting things back together after the party was over with. But we had quite a shindig that night.
In those days, the young people, the young married women, had afternoon clubs, and we'd go for luncheon and stay the whole afternoon, sometimes play cards, sometimes just talk, and so forth. We also belonged to different evening clubs where the men came. And I'm sorry to say, at our age now, there are very few of those people left. So we do not have any clubs of any kind right now. But that we spent a great deal of time with up to 12, 14 people getting together and playing cards and eating and picnicking on Sundays. We used to picnic every Sunday when they built the road going to Bay City. I think we went out there every Sunday and with our luncheon. And they had old chairs and tables and things there. And it was a beautiful place to go. So we had many friends that we used to get together in big crowds and go out there.
On the river road.
On the river road, the old, the way it's now, the East Side River Road.
So that was one of the other ways we spent our time. And the children, all of our children were raised together, and of course everybody was aunt and uncle. So we used to be aunt and uncle to many children.
We were married in the Presbyterian church as by a Presbyterian minister, and we had two daughters, and when they became old enough, we put them in Sunday school and joined the church and had them baptized. And we have been members now of Warren Avenue Prep Church for about 45 years. My association with the church has been wonderful. I've held every office that is available to the layman, from deacon, trustee, and elder. And but on account of my age now, I have declined any future offices. Mrs. Jockin, in her earlier years, was very active in the Women's Association of the church, and we still attend on occasion, and she attends meetings occasionally. But due to our age, we are unable to be as active as we used to be.
The Women's Association was, of course, made up of several different groups. And years ago, we used to put on meals to make money with and put on big bazaars and things of that kind, but we quit that. But they have done and are still doing collecting clothing and things for the missions, and do a lot of mission work. And it was very interesting to do, but right now I'm not too active in that part of the church.